Fire Casino Retreat. Part 2.
Shall we see if we can back up and do a sort of clear, simple map? So, yeah. After image, red dot, and then the
darker dot.
Darker dot, yeah, which fades out. And then to the coloured space, which for me is iridescent blue, for you is purple, for you was
greenish.
Yeah.
And then from there, there were various paths, weren't there? So into colours.
Yeah, right.
Manipulating colours.
Just as colours.
Yep, just as colours. Or from that space into the purple-green.
Yeah, the washing.
Yeah, the washing.
The waves, like waves of colour across other colour.
And from there into the low-res image space.
Yeah. Although I would sort of, like in my not great sits, I would get up to that and I would sort of oscillate between the molten gold, the low-res space, and the washing bright images of a purple, and I would get into this place where I'd just sort of be oscillating between those three.
Yeah.
Like, and I couldn't get up to the fourth phase or the high res.
Yeah. So the junction was always that sort of initial coloured space after the fade out of the red dot, and that was our jumping station, wasn't it?
Well, actually, I started actually not even using the candle at the end.
Yeah.
And I would just go straight into purple swirls. Like I've now got, like even just now closing my eyes, there's glowing purple. Like I can even open my eyes and see it on the wall somewhat. Mm. Oh, we should talk about eyes open stuff in a little bit.
Yeah. But that became established for us, didn't it? Right. Over a few days. So it was just there all the time.
I can just go into the purple and the purple can start swirling and it's all reforming three-dimensional cones and like these like things like that and starting to... Yeah.
So past a certain point, we didn't need the candle.
Right. Although it was fun, I would still use it sometimes just because, you know, that could be cool. And
also, I got good at staring at it for longer and longer periods without getting tension around the eyes.
Right. We also noticed if we just stared at the candle and allowed these state shifts to occur while staring at the candle, we started getting... Did you ever get the wash through?
Yes.
The wash through phase with eyes open?
Yes.
We both... Did you notice that?
No,
where you'd be staring at the candle and all of a sudden start to notice the orange-red, like, washing in from the sides, like, you know, as you're already... Everything's totally violet now, like, the whole background is totally violet, and, like, but the candle's still the candle, and the flame's still the flame, and you're like, the stuff would be just washing through across the living room. I don't know. Anyway.
And the other transition, which looked like these circles converging on the center.
Yes, right, yeah. So
it's also this transition thing to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun. And then we played around with drawing pentagrams in the air and symbols with various degrees of success.
The aim being to see them in the air
as
they were being drawn.
And then to see the after image after we close our eyes and to be able to see each other's.
Mm.
Now, the after image was really surprising to me. So I drew this pentagram in the air and followed my finger with my eyes, gaze, saw this trail of distortion or very pale, purplish afterglow, but no solid trail in the air. So I closed my eyes the first time and saw the pentagram there in this storm of eyelid colors, and that was really, really surprising. So at that point, concentration was strong enough somehow to get this image in there. So get the memory of the hand motions and get in there.
And also had fun with eyes closed, but moving your hands up and waving it.
Yes.
And having the hand, even in a very dark room, you know, where you're not, it's not changing the light that's falling on your eyes, noticing how the body knows that the hand is there and it will change and swirl the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And you were playing around with compressing.
Yes.
So with eyes closed, you'd compress the colors into a ball with your fingers.
These light modes into a ball. Yeah, that was fun. So it's amazing what... That was after a few days of concentration, so 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Already enough to get these...
Strange effects.
Strange effects, yeah.
Yeah, very magical effects.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll back up a bit to the imagery, because we talked about there being two image spaces, the low-res one and the high-res one. And the low-res one we get into from our sort of starting point, the coloured space, And I think I'm right in saying that the high res one, you need to go through a sort of chaotic zone to get to that one.
Right.
I think I entered the chaotic zone a few times, but never actually made it to the second vision space. But did have some images in the first vision space. And it seemed to me that there were two sorts of images there that could appear. First of all, there was what seemed a low-end version, which was processions of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember one night I could see animals, different animals, at different distances away from me. They were all walking, and this was all sort of perfectly in 3D. There were hyenas, bears, primates, and so on, and they're all sort of walking in progression. It's da-dum, 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 da-dum. Mm-hmm. And there's colours that are sort of doing the fibre optic thing, going mm-hmm. through a sequence. And it's 3D. There'd be some sort of like rotation going on as well. So those would be rotating. But that seemed to be sort of the low end of the imagery. And sometimes there'd be another one, which would be something more independent would start to form.
Yes.
So such as the Thai spider Buddha.
Yes, right. It seemed to have some life of its own. Yeah. So moving on its own in a way that you weren't... Yeah.
Yeah, so there was this entity that looked like a Buddha with sort of like five or six legs and eyes all over its body that were blinking. And
that you banished.
That I banished, yeah, later on, just to be careful.
Yeah.
Because it looked really pissed off.
You got a number of pissed off
faces,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So, that seemed like the high end of this sort of low res realm. I don't know if you noticed anything else in the high res zone, whether there's any distinctions up there.
What did I notice in the high res zone? I should probably talk about the tantric images. So at some point I started getting tantric images of various acts between entities.
Consenting deities.
Between consenting adult deities. Which would cause... not only did they seem to be acting on their own, but I got to watch energy flow in these sort of tubes of energy between chakras, between orifi, between entities in complicated ways. And something about that produced really exquisite rapture and bliss. Like it felt like chemicals in the center of my brain. Like I could just feel like drop by drop of like exquisite bliss chemicals, like imagine my pituitary just going drop of exquisite bliss, boom, and I just feel it like roll out through my brain. It was like, wow, that is amazing. And what was interesting is I'm not used to getting fruitions that close to bliss that heady. So that was a really interesting combination because I could get fruitions off of these images when they'd move in certain ways. And it was really like I'm not used to that combination of high equanimity and that degree of rapture. That is actually unique in my experience. It's the first time I've noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, usually fruitions for me come out of a very neutral but nice but diffuse, not paying attention space, as opposed to an extremely like, oh my golly, that's ridiculously good bliss phase.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And I also noticed, so I had a dragon theme. So in my color playing phase, I'd create like a blue dragon and then have its fire be red, you know, just to play with the color control. And then I'd have a green dragon and its breath is blue. And then I'd have its breath be yellow and then I'd have it be a different shade of yellow. And then I started playing around with turning the dragon various directions. So like the dragon facing that way, breathing fire away from me, and then merging the dragon back into myself and getting fruitions that way, and then also turning the dragon around and getting fruitions off the fire. And it felt like the fire went all the way into my eyes, like all the way into my brain, which also created some odd effects. Like at one point, like I got this ray of light, kind of like the dragon, but not quite. It was like, you know, going in the full high D, the full 3D res phase, where like this purple beam, like it feels like I'm literally having a purple flashlight shone in my eye, and I can feel it on my eye. We should talk about synesthesia. But literally felt like someone was shining a purple flashlight into my eye, and like it was like I could feel the light impacting on the back of my eye. Like even though this is totally internally generated images, like
yeah, these these very bright strange flashlight experiences at those two, without the dragons, but
and one time up in the 3D space, like the dragon's scales got so iridescently real, it's like I could reach out and touch the thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my god, look at those, just beautiful. Like, and this was in my, when I was high as a kite on colors, like every color was just exquisite to me.
Yeah.
That phase, and like the scales were just so this iridescent, like dark gray, blue, green, something, like it was like, oh, just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anyway, but synesthesia, talk about synesthesia, because we all got some of those.
Go ahead.
You were the first one to mention it, I think.
How do you mean? What do you mean by synesthesia?
You were talking about how you were feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like washing thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was fairly early on. That like there was one where suddenly I was in a space that was a kind of a dugout space into the earth, and it had wooden walls, and I was touching the walls, and I could feel the dampness of the wood, and I could sort of smell the earthiness as well, stuff like that. So all really, really vivid, all really, really real. Fairly fleeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is imagery in different sensory modalities.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
First you get to see it, then you get to smell it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the touch thing. So usually when meditating off retreat, I get some visions, some hypnagogic images and sounds. But the touch thing was new to me, at least, yeah.
Right.
Feeling touch and...
Tactile stuff.
Tactile stuff, that was...
Some of the most interesting,
amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the most interesting tactile stuff for me was when I spent some time, because I really wanted to bring the stuff out into the open eye world, right? And we could all see the red dots, you know, with eyes open on the walls and on the stairs, and you know what I mean. But the
laser sight.
Yeah, seriously, it's like the laser sight on the stairs in front of you is true. Yeah, but the other stuff, the colors out past that, bringing them into the real world, not as easy. You know what I mean? So I became fascinated with putting my hands, like I was holding a sphere in my hands, and like visualizing and seeing a purple dot and seeing energy patterns between my fingers. And then I would get into the stuff where there'd be the swirling cones and the swirling vortices in purple or in red and white. Or in one time I got the red with like white sparks almost. Because when my concentration would get really strong, the lines would become like bright, white, clear light, but slightly crystal fragmented, like refracted, like so they'd be sort of blue on one side and kind of red on the other, you know, like through a little bit of a glass lens, or crystal. And so I would get these spinning, like spindles or like dual starfish, or something like that, or like sea creatures, like with, you know, this fine tendrils or whatever spinning in my hands, and sometimes they'd go kind of off center, and I could actually feel when the tentacles or tendrils or crystal spines would go through my fingers. Like I could actually feel the individual ones like going through the tingling of my fingers. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
That was really interesting for me.
Yeah. I think there's a couple more things that we need to talk about. One is contraindications.
Yes.
The shadow side of this stuff,
yes,
which definitely made an appearance.
Yes, we all got to notice.
And another one probably that we need to talk about is, you know, what makes this any different from sort of three acid heads just talking about stuff that they've seen?
And we don't know the answer to that question. Actually, we have no idea.
So probably save that one to the end.
Yeah, yeah. Let's also quickly talk about the cycles, just because they get power. So doing this kind of practice also drives the inside cycles. So.
Right.
And again, it was fun to see how closely synchronized we were. Like at the beginning, we all started out for days, like tracking more or less each other. At least I had this impression.
Yeah.
Well, the first one to hit hard stuff was Duncan very, very early on.
Yeah. Like after a day of practice. I remember... I think it was probably about day three, day two, wasn't it? And I woke up in the morning and just had this sort of horrible feeling that was there when I woke up. It felt like some sort of like horrible kind of grey sheet that was sort of dropping through me. And there's just a feeling of like something dreadful, something unbearable. And I mean, I've never had a panic attack or anything like that in my life, but suddenly I started to think, well, this must be what one of those is. And it was just this awful feeling, basically. I remember coming down here and having breakfast, and
you made breakfast, actually.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had the morning sit, and you went to make breakfast.
Yeah, and then I remember sitting down. Couldn't eat it. Yeah.
Couldn't face tea. That was a sign.
That was a bad sign. feeling nauseous.
Daniel put cheese all over the porridge.
And yeah. Daniel eating his breakfast was not helping. Putting curry sauce in porridge. Just it was the dark night all over again. And I remember I ended up in the toilet, didn't I? Sort of screaming and moaning and stuff.
Retching, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing something.
And what it actually seemed to boil down to was looking at the actual... Because I decided, look, I just need to lie down and sort of kind of get to grips with what is actually going on. And it was grief. It was grief that I was feeling. And I realised that this was actually feelings about the death of my father, which, you know, was sort of over 3 years ago now. But that's what it was. And why that suddenly surfaced then... I don't know. I think it was probably just something that was ongoing psychologically for me anyway, and somehow the practice sort of seemed to bring that up. Mm-hmm. And then over the retreat I had a couple of dreams that seemed to relate to that specifically, which were quite helpful in their content. So yeah, this sort of practice does seem to trigger that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then there are the stages of insight. So there's the rising and passing away stuff, the dark night stuff, equanimity stuff. And we would all go through our dark night phases, our equanimity phases, our rising and passing away phases. Yeah, sort of towards the middle, I guess, is when I get sort of wiggy.
Right.
So I had, right when Tommy M showed up, I was suddenly like utterly fascinated with my color control abilities and with color and the fact that I could shift the colors through exquisite nuances of any shade of color. I felt like the greatest art supply store of the casino world. Like every single color of the rainbow, like I could shift the colors through it, and it was just, there was something just ridiculously nice about that. And the color of everything, like even grays, the gray green of the mossy road and the plants and the leaves on the trees and the shades of the sky, even if they were just a Scottish sky grey. Like,
you spent a lot of time in front of the fire as well.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. Looking at the nuanced colours of the fire, like, just they were so good. Hard to explain how amazing they were. And I was pretty much high as a kite on the joy of colour discovery and colour control for about a day or so. And then that evening, I'm not sure what evening that was.
Monday, I think. So that would be
today. Oh, right. Well, no, Tom's still here, so Monday. Yeah, it was the night, it was last night. So yeah, I felt like I, all of a sudden, it was like the mantra was doing this horrible thing with the heater tones and horrible rhythms. And I felt like I was extremely nauseated, but like in some, like, I felt like global nausea, and then I just started to feel viscerally, horribly toxic and physically kind of, and then I started to notice my brain was really starting to run roughly and starting to like feel like it was just going totally as wrong as it could possibly go. And so I
you were hot as well,
right? Yeah, and I felt too hot, like I felt like, not like I had a fever, but just like I was extremely hot, like I couldn't cool down. I took off all my jackets and went down to, and this was when it was still cold. This is before this is before it warmed up, right? I mean, warmed being a relative term in Scotland in February, but before it was in the 20s at night, right? You know, it was cold, or what you call the negative fives or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, so I remember going down into the bathroom with my shirt off, and not even turning the heater on, and like still being too hot.
You weren't sweating at all.
I was not sweating at all. Just like this horrible feeling of like internal heat. And then later on, I got this notion that if you play with fire, you will get burned. And somehow this was like fire casino gone like too far into fire. Like, I'd also been playing with magical effects, a lot of magical effects that day.
Hey, we're doing this this middle pillar thing.
Oh yeah, so earlier that day, right, I had, yeah, thank you for reminding me. I had, my concentration was just over the top earlier that day, very A&P-esque. But, yeah, I got this jet of white light fire, just of extreme high intensity, shooting about 5 feet off my head and then shooting out from below my butt. I couldn't actually see that part, except for I could see the glow like around my legs, like, but I could feel the energy roaring out up and down, and had done other interesting magical things that day. And finally, I think I just totally magically fried myself. It was just way too much and total system overload, so I just shut it down and took a nap and woke up and I was better.
Yeah.
But I definitely felt quite wiggy during that period. So, yeah, if you do this, those following along at home, and you start to notice, wait a second, something's really wrong, back off. Mm-hmm. My distinct best advice to you, shut it down, stop practicing, take a walk, take a nap, do something else, distract yourself. Yeah, just stop practicing.
Yeah, and, also
tell people.
Yeah, tell people. It was good not to be alone with this. So
yeah.
When Duncan was having a hard time, it was reassuring to have you there and cracking jokes and
putting cheese and porridge.
Putting cheese in porridge. And, generally, being the doctor, I mean, I was comfortable knowing you were in charge. And
nice.
Okay, panic attack.
Was it okay? Was it all right?
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
You knew what you were doing, but when you were having a hard time, I mean, Duncan and I and Tommy were kind of looking at each other. And,
luckily, I know what to do. I mean, you know, the thing about having a brain like mine is I can push into territory that's at once pretty amazing and also pretty unstable, right?
Yeah.
So the, you know, but luckily I've done that enough times over the years that I'm, you know, okay, wait a second, this is starting to get towards that line you never want to cross. Let's back off.
You do actually follow your own advice, which was which was very instructive to see somebody do that.
Yeah. So anyway, if
if
you soar high, you are likely to soar low at some point shortly thereafter.
I mean, the key,
but it's worth soaring high, so like I wouldn't trade the high part. I mean, I wouldn't like go back, and I wouldn't do it a different way at this point. In case anyone's wondering, I'll take the high for the crash.
The key for me seemed to be about, okay, I'm freaked out, but not being freaked out that I was freaked out. So you need to acknowledge what's happening for you, what these feelings are, you know, what you're actually feeling, that it is bad, you know, but try not to get into that sort of meta freakness, which is being freaked because you're freaked, and then, then the panic cycle really. Really kicks in.
Yeah, but I think at the point where that actually happens to someone, that's not a train of thought they would just have like that. Also experience and maturity and things like that.
Well, hopefully that's where the insight experience starts to kick in.
I mean, I've definitely run myself, you know, definitely wiped out on a few curves by taking them too fast on the spiritual path.
Yeah.
You know, so... not my first rodeo, not my first time being thrown from a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got lucky. I never got that bad.
Nice. Yeah, you were like a very meticulous, steady practitioner.
Yeah.
So
like German, good German style.
Yeah, just powering through. So whenever I got restless, I would get up and walk. And, well.
Walking practice is good.
It's really good.
Yeah. We all came to appreciate that more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about the elemental stuff. Talk about appreciating the stones and the creek and the.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of had a bit of a crisis, sort of midway, latter part of the retreat, where I felt something was missing. That was it. I was thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Just being in the practice room started to feel difficult. You know, with the candle and the sound of the heater and the roaring fire and all that, and it was like, I've got to find something else. And then there was a vision that appeared, which spontaneously appeared while I was practicing, which was I saw a fire, and I was seeing this fire from above, and then water washed in from below and partially extinguished it, and then wind blew over the top and then put the thing out. And that seemed to be telling me, you know, you need to put this fire out. So what I found myself doing was taking a walk out into the woods and going down to the stream and just really feeling the wonderful coolness and the freshness and the wetness. Yeah, and it felt such a relief.
Yeah,
and it made me realise that what we're doing is intentionally unbalancing ourselves for a while, because the casino practice is all about that intense concentration that you keep up, you know, and
on fire.
Yeah. And I mean, my practice at home is generally a sort of devotional practice. And I found that I couldn't access those states or feelings anymore. I thought it was interesting earlier, Daniel, you were saying how your access to the formless realms seemed
totally trashed. So, like, that was interesting. Like, towards the last few days, I thought, well, my concentration power is crazy high. I should be able to get some really awesome formless fun, maybe hit a road of somebody and, you know, all the stuff. You can do a strong concentration. Except that I was totally wrong. Mm. So, yes, I have strong concentration. But no, it's strong concentration on colors, which are formed, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been, like, drilling down for 150-plus hours on, you know, on forms.
Yeah.
And... I was not able to let the mind, have the mind let go of those. I could get into spacious things, right? I could get into very diffuse, spacious things, but they weren't truly formless, like, because the mind was so trained to lock onto the colors and the visuals that it just kept going there. It just kept going to the images.
Mm.
Oh, which is interesting. So speaking of interesting things, yesterday, remember? Yesterday, so in the afternoon sit, I went to lay down and thought I might take a nap, because we're sort of powering down as the retreat comes down, we're calming down the concentration power a little bit, and my mind totally was not having any of it, and I was getting these great sheets of extremely defined symbols and triangles and things in these very elaborate geometric patterns. Like high degrees of precision, and then the mind was just getting more and more and more intense on them, like it was just like accelerating, like a car with its throttle stuck, like the concentration power is just ramping up and up, and I was getting like the, you know, the stuff that takes the high concentration, the really molten gold stuff, and I got it like really round and spinning and like molten gold and bright and freaking iridescent and powerful. Like, the mind's just like going, yeah, bring it. It's just like, like shifting higher and higher and higher. And I was like, no. Like, this feels great, and I can tell this is just so wrong. Like, yeah, like, and the concentration power was just, felt like it was just like on the runway. And I was like, no, with a day to go, I don't want to be on the runway. So I just got up, walked, and totally brought it down.
Which makes it clear that this sort of practice, you're leaving certain other things aside. You're leaving them out.
Yeah.
So what I ended up doing after the visit to the woods was, and the vision, was sort of bringing in water, bringing in earth.
You brought in a stone and wrapped in the pentacle and brought in the chalice with the water of the...
And I started doing the surrender practice, the devotional practice again, which helped, you know, because you do need that sort of stepping back and that loosening as well. One of the experiences within the practice that brought this home to me was I was trying for images all night, trying, couldn't get anything. So at the end of the evening, I just sort of gave up and did surrender practice for half an hour. And then suddenly, faces started to appear.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 3D. And that just seemed to be saying to me, look, this has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, it's this weird thing between concentration, which is very intentional, and
surrender
and relaxation and letting go. So you have to find this balance, and that's...
Yeah.
Because early on, the control and the intention and the effort work.
Mm.
And later on, they require a much more sophisticated, subtle, light touch.
Mm.
I mean, you know, it's easy to fall asleep up there, but... It doesn't respond.
It's also easy to get like stuck in a rut and spin your wheels. And
sure, right. If you make it too tight, if you power it too hard, it just totally doesn't work. It gets too narrow, too tight, too edgy, too volatile, too constricted, too whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't like that.
Yeah. So shall we think a bit about What makes this different from three acid heads sitting around?
It takes more time.
It takes way longer. It's more expensive. It is legal. At least since 1949, wizardry is now legal in Scotland or whatever. I can't remember. Something like that. So wizardry is now legal. You just can't charge for it. But it's much more expensive. Tower rental and airplane fees and stuff. But it is legal so far, as we know. And... So the advantages are, one, you learn a shit ton about attention control, right? I mean, you learn this crazy amount. I mean, like, think about your nuanced knowledge of the jnanas and the jhanas and the frequencies and attention in comparison to when, you know, started this stuff. There's no comparison, right? Yeah. I mean, you're totally different, you know, your appreciation of fine-tuned attention, width of attention, spatial attention.
Reading MCTB, I never really understood what you were talking about when you were talking about frequencies and frame rates and stuff. And but on this retreat, I did. Yeah.
You can see the fine oscillations.
But you can see the red dot.
Or even the fine grained patterns of the later stuff, the shimmerings, like the.
Things orbiting it.
And then in the purpley space, you have to bring that down. You have to bring that frame rate right down.
Right,
in order to sync, to sync with it. Yeah.
Right, and syncing frame rates, that skill set, right? Something that until you, you know... So you learn a ton about attention control. Just the jhanic bliss we got to all have hours and hours of, right? When we weren't restless. You know, so I'll bet our jhana, you know, chops will all be refreshed, improved, enhanced by this, which is inherently pleasurable.
Having my mind blown by
the visuals,
the visuals, and encountering images that are like perceptions. You know, is that about?
Right. And you're brought up to the level of reality-ish.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, that leads you to sort of, well, it leads me to sort of theorize about things that are going on. It seems like seeing the 3D stuff. It's like your mind has a 3D program built in somewhere.
Yeah.
And that we're somehow
has to do all these calculations for staying upright.
And we're hacking that in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's quite mysterious. I think that's quite mysterious how the hack happens.
Yeah.
Well, it's like this one dream I had, the two of us running around updating screendriver software.
That's funny.
Yeah. But what it actually is that you do in order to hack that program. What it is that...
Undocumented.
There's still some mystery there.
Yeah, we don't know. But more than that, also, like, from a magical point of view, like, consider the images, consider the dreams, consider the intuitions, consider the how that compares with so much lower concentration magical work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the high concentration magical work is a totally different animal.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of frequency of visions, in terms of intensity of visions, intensity of intuitions, intensity of energetic phenomena, intensity of so many things, like it's just a whole nother world beyond much of the ritual stuff. Not that the ritual stuff can't temporarily cause some experiences, but consider the density and intensity and import and meaning of all the things you've seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so know the stages of insight if you do high concentration, because they are relevant, ye who would follow in our footsteps. Mm-hmm. We should mention, we got into a lot of hilarious conversations during our lunch and dinner breaks and breakfast breaks, like every time. We laughed half the time at least.
Yes.
I mean, nearly, it was just been tremendous fun.
I mean, most retreats, talking is not allowed, but I wouldn't have got half the experiences that I did without being able to kind of check in with you two.
Right.
Yeah, and see where you are.
And laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I think it helps tremendously.
It really helped a lot. Yeah,
like it keeps it lighter. Like it lets you blow off steam from the hours and hours of hard practice.
I think we traded some concentration for that, but totally worth it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I would trade the concentration power again. Like, yeah, like to be with people who have such a breadth of knowledge, so well-read, well practiced, well thought out, kind, thoughtful, generous, everybody being so diligent about food and keeping the fire going and getting wood and keeping things cleaned up and helping each other and being supportive. Like, yeah, if you go on a retreat like this, you want to be with really good people. You know,
yeah.
You want to be with really good, sane, kind, thoughtful, caring, decent, reasonable people who know how to keep a lid on their stuff and have good hearts and minds.
It's been fun and it's felt safe.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
It's great.
I actually think the first time I did this, because I was on retreat at Bhavana Society, which is such a house of shamatha, where they actually do talk a lot about jhanas, and they talk a lot about... It's funny, they hint at powers. It's really interesting. Like, when I was there, they would like, they kept hinting at powers and kept hinting at these experiences, but like they really wanted to talk about them, but because they're monks, they really didn't. But it was like they would dance all around them, and it was like, I think I, the first time I was there, I drafted some of that, you know, vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was able to draft along in that wake, like following a, you know, truck to get the additional gas mileage.
One of the things that came out of this for me is, you know, when you read those accounts of monks being able to visualize, what were you describing, a four-sided pyramid with 10,000 bodhisattvas,
oh, right,
and all with six eyes each, and holding a scroll with
light radiating about all of their heart chakras to your chakra.
I mean, once upon a time I would have just thought, well, that's impossible, but now I wouldn't think it's impossible.
It's totally doable. Some of the images I got were that level of resolution. When I got the green cross, like, it was exquisitely done, like with all this like fine detail, like a real, you know, like the, you know, like, and it was about this thick, and it had like this little sort of almost like goldish silvery trim around it, and it had all this intricate design work in it, like, and the background was purple but incredibly elaborate, this radial pattern of purple coming out behind it, like a few inches behind it, like it was like, you know, immaculate detail is probably the best way to explain it. Like, not the low res stuff that I got a lot of. I mean, we all got a lot of low res images. They're relatively easy, but the few flashes to the high res stuff, it's like, it's breathtaking. Like, like I could never draw that. Like, that's the funny thing. Like, I don't know how my mind creates that when I couldn't draw it. Like, that always astounds me.
And it's just there.
Right,
and doing its own thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And if you told me it was revolving and there was an orchestral soundtrack, I'd believe you.
Well, we got orchestral soundtracks, so I mean, like, you know, at one point before my color phase, like in my high as a kite phase, my mantra got like massively orchestral, so that it was like being sung by this, like, you know, like choir on fire, you know, with like just like, you know, and just ringing through the room with the radiator and the stove all chiming in with their complicated parts. And then I got this om and this rom, you know, and all these other parts going, like, like, and I was like, I've got to record this. I've got to figure out a way to like create this. I've got my laptop. I've got Logic Pro Studio. I can do the mic, and I can do all the parts, and like,
put it on SoundCloud.
Seriously, like, I still might actually. I can still remember some of it.
You should. It's good.
Yeah, my crazy mantra. Anyway,
Also funny, wasn't it, when there's a public footpath goes past the tower.
It was
a group of tourists came past the tower one day, and I was up in the meditation room, and I could hear these voices, and I was just thinking, oh,
voices.
Yeah, voices, I'm hallucinating.
We were joking about how we should go out and poke at them and see if they were real.
But yeah, it's literally that, wasn't it? I mean, you just all your perceptions were
so weird.
Were up for grabs.
Kind of definitely.
Everything was being looked at twice.
So what else was this good for? I think it was great for processing a lot of stuff. Not that I'm much of a stuff practitioner, but I actually felt like a lot of stuff got processed just peripherally or incidentally by being in high concentration states that at once are very blissful and peaceful and also incredibly clear. And so for me, being able to bring issues into, like, having issues arise in that space, which is so different from my ordinary mind space, was somehow, I think, really helpful. Like, I could see them in a much more balanced way that I wouldn't be able to easily without, you know, just bathing in crap loads of bliss and peace and expansive, deep, tranquil states. And I always notice a ton of synchronicity with my tarot deck, my witch's tarot, which I'm so enamored of, and now even more so. Like, card after card I would draw, I'm like, wow, what a totally perfect card. Like,
Yeah, also the paper tarot deck. Like,
yeah,
I drew the lovers, right. And you came down telling us about the tantric stuff.
Oh yeah, that was interesting. Yeah,
that was funny.
It's incredible. Yeah. Or when I spent all night dreaming of pancakes, and you came down and made pancakes.
Yeah,
it's fine. Synchronicities.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's true for me as well. Like, I had my freak out at the beginning, and like I said, there were some dreams that came up during the retreat, and it's just sort of psychological insights, straightforward psychological insights from that, you know, just given me a better handle on my stuff, everyday stuff.
Mm. Yeah, the downtime, the time away, and the clarity, I think all helps.
And the camaraderie, and the mutual support.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What else do we want to tell our dear listeners? This stuff can be done. It's tremendous fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely interesting. That's what I would want to tell people.
The phases and steps are clear and universal.
Yes.
Yes.
The definitely. The instructions can be relatively straightforward. Yeah. It's just a question of making the time and keeping things on the rails and figuring out for you in each moment how to fine-tune your mind to clearly perceive what's going on and to align with that particular phase of practice and find the balance of insight and concentration, the balance of effort and attention and relaxation and tranquility, spaciousness and fine detail and all that works for you in that moment. I mean, that was one of the interesting things, is we're all sort of mind hacking here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Each of us had to figure out how to get to the next stage, had to figure out what the next thing was, had to figure out how it worked, had to build that wiring, you know, and, you know, with our mix of intuition and instruction and camaraderie and hints from the texts and practice backgrounds, figure out how to trip the locks on the doors, to open the gateways of perception and experience to Buddhist magic. All right then.
Yeah.
Well, to those who would follow in our footsteps, best wishes. Keep your heads about you, practice well, maintain balance, and if it starts to go off the rails, shut it down until it's back in sync.
Wise back words. Wise words.
All right. Good night, dear listeners. May you be well. May your practice be well.